Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's show is pre-recorded.
Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, suit on.
Looking like the Capitol.
Giving a microphone.
Just like a million bucks,
diamond things and it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah. Everybody out there listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Harvey.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. Excuse me. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Something going on real good today. You ought to feel blessed today. The fact that God woke you up and gave you another opportunity. You know, every day you wake up is another chance. It's a chance for all of us to get better, to get it right, to get on the right path, to stop heading the wrong way. Every day you wake up, that's your opportunity. See, because he's going to keep waking you up because he has a plan for you. You know, I don't know, I don't know when he makes his call and you know, who gets called home when. I can't explain it. I don't have that answer. I'm not him. I'm not God. I don't claim to be. I don't understand it all sometimes. But God has an amazing way. But as long as he's waking you up, I do know this. God ain't through with you yet. God has a plan for you. Your job is to identify the plan. You know, that's clearly what I need for you to do. You know, oftentimes the thing that you're looking for, it's right there inside of you. You know, I can't tell you how many people I meet. Mr. Harvey, can I speak to you for a minute? Yeah, man, what's up with you? Man, I was just wondering, man, I've been trying to, and I wanted to know, man, can you give me a good agent? Can you give me a good lawyer? Can you give me a good... Now, look, if you got some legal problems, I understand you're going to need some help right there. But the majority of questions I get asked is about their future, about their place in this world, about their mission, about what they're trying to do, how they're trying to figure out, and then the how to go about doing it. But the answer, I must remind all of you, is always within yourself. It starts right there. See, a lot of people burn up a lot of time looking around, trying to find someone. If I could just meet them, if I could just get on her show, man, if I could just get to his show, I'd be the made it. That's not necessarily the case. Because see, just like every time you put your faith in a person or an event or occurrence or some type of thing that you imagine yourself being in, and that'll do it for you. Imagine of all the people who've made it without. You know, I look at everybody and tell me, man, if I could get on so-and-so's show, that'll do it for me, man. Somebody else got on that show and they blew up. Man, if I could just make it to that show. Do you know how many people have made it without that? So see, when you start focusing in on what your idea of how to make it is, and your idea of how to make it does not include your relationship with God, you're spinning your wheels. Man, it's a vicious cycle you in now. And I'm asking everybody to get out of that cycle. Get out of looking for someone and something. The answer is within you. God resides in you. That burning thing that you have that you just can't get out your head, that's a seed. God planted that there. That's a seed. It needs watering, nurturing, fertilizing. That's what it needs. It don't ever say, man, I need that other person right there. Now, there are people you will meet that'll compliment you, and I can assure you that God will put you in the right place at the right time. I'm almost certain that God will introduce you to everybody you need to be introduced to make it to wherever it is you all are trying to get to. I'm talking about you and God now. But the moment you take it into your own hands and you make the decision as to who you got to get to, you've just clouded and muddied the waters. See, God's plan for you don't really need your help. Uh-oh. It needs your attention. It needs your focus. It needs your faith. And it needs your hard work. But he needs you to listen. He needs you to listen more than anything. Listen, keep the faith, and be willing to work your tail off. I don't know how you think it can happen any other way. But then again, I do, because I tried to make it another way. So I had to come to the conclusion, hey, man, listen here, dog, this ain't working for you. You got to get some more God here, man. Listen to me. The answer was always within me. The moment I sat down with myself and told myself the truth that, hey, partner, you ain't really all that. Hey, partner, regardless as to what people are seeing and stuff, you ain't happy. Hey, partner, this really ain't about you. Hey, partner, you really ain't all that good at this. God is keeping you for a reason. Okay, hold up, Steve. Quit tripping. What I need to do? I just started talking to myself, and then I heard Bishop Jakes say a couple of things. Then I was watching TV. I heard Joel Osteen say a couple of things. And I went, wow, man. Okay, cool. That's pretty slick. I'm going to try that. And when I did it, it changed my life. I am telling you, man, it has been God this whole time. And the God has been residing inside of me, just like the God resides on the inside of you. That's him talking to you, telling you, man, you ought to get it together. Man, making you feel bad. It's sending you on guilt trips. You knowing you wrong. You out there wrong. And something telling you you ought not do it. Here's how you know it's God. And Bishop Ulmer taught me this in his book. He's got, I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's a really good book. But it says in there, man, Bishop Ulmer was talking in this book, and he was saying, the way you know it's not God's voice is if it ain't no sin in it. See, how many times have you made up in your mind, I'm going to show this person, or I'm going to show that person, or I'm going to get this person back. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You know, the Lord don't like ugly, I'll show you. Well, the Lord don't like ugly, but nowhere in that does it say for you to go show them. It doesn't say that. See, so when you strike out on that mission, you know, the God knows in my heart I loved you, but I got to do this because you did me wrong. Whoa, 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 whoa. Ain't got nothing to do with God right there. You can take him out of it. If it's God, has no sin in it. So anytime somebody come to me talking about the Lord told me to do this to you, and that's the only reason I'm doing it, you need to get yourself right with God. I heard all them threats right there. That ain't God talking to me through you. What, are you crazy? If it's God, it has no sin in it. So you got to be careful, man, when you're talking to people. We're going to go down here and we're going to do this because this is the right thing to do. If it has something wrong going on, then it can't be the right thing to do. Took me a minute to learn that one. But please get that through your head so you can quit spinning yourself around. And remember, everything you're looking for is within you. It's all right there. Quit wasting your time looking around all the time. Go to your God, man. Talk to him. Go to that spirit that's on the inside of you that's calling you. Stop letting people shake your tree. At the end of the day, somebody going to be right, somebody going to be wrong. All right, y'all. We're going to have a good one today. I'm tripping a little bit, going through something.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Black representation is so important. It lets you know you can dream and realize those dreams. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. And NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are sitting here on the cusp of what is already a beautiful morning. If you are in it, it's beautiful. Whatever your situation is, to all my brothers and sisters that might be listening that's locked up, y'all keep your head up. God still got you. God still love you. Oh, man. This is Steve Harvey Morning Show. Shirley Strawberry Collar, Pharrell, Mississippi Monica. Junior, better known as, well, Keir Spates, better known as Junior, Thomas Miles, better known as Nephew Tommy, and yours truly. Junior, it's starting to trouble me, but what's on your mind?
I'll tell you what's on my mind, Let's just say this, me and Tommy out, and we get kidnapped, and they want $5 million. Who you spending the money on first? You rescuing me, or you gonna rescue your nephew first? Just
well,
me and Tommy.
If you and Tommy are out and y'all get kidnapped and the ransom is $5 million
a piece,
each, Let me ask you a question. Where am I when you all get kidnapped?
Let's say Mexico.
What difference does that make? Are you going to pay the ransom? What is your location after this?
Well, so he can thoroughly understand this answer.
You going to pay the ransom or not?
It sounds like he ain't
your nephew.
I'm just going to say this right here. I would suggest you start taking some type of course or class on escape skills.
Not the escape room.
Well, now he's Liam Neeson.
If I'm in Mexico, I'm still going to be in Mexico, and I'm probably going to be playing golf. So I strongly suggest, let me give you some things you probably need to work on.
That's so cold.
Handcuff escaping, squirming out of ropes.
Tommy is your nephew. Hello.
How to chew through twine.
He coming to get me. He coming.
Trust the ability to snap plastic ties.
Yeah. Zip ties.
You're going to have to find out who can do skin grafts, because you're going to tear yourself up trying to get out of all that stuff.
Well, how long are you going to take?
Holding your breath underwater in case somebody tie something to you and throw you over the belt. And you need to watch all the Houdini tapes that's out there in the ring.
Ain't no black Houdinis. Ain't no black Houdinis.
Okay, that's for Junior. That's for Junior. What about your nephew?
That goes for both of them.
I'm not worried. He's coming.
Well, I am.
Yeah. It sounds like we're going to be there, T.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
$5 million for what?
Because they know you have it.
Tell them what you're going to say.
We don't pay that much money on this radio show.
This is just wrong.
Man, it's not how you really feel.
Or either you better hurry up and marry into some other family.
All right. Thank God it's time to go.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Right now, it's time for the nephew to run that prank back.
Mr. Reggie.
Okay.
Shirley, take a listen to Mr. Reggie. Come on, cat dog.
Okay. All
right, Mr. Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach Davion.
This is Davion. Who's calling?
How you doing, man? This is Mr. Reggie.
Mr. Reggie?
Have you heard of me before?
No, you don't ring a bell or not.
I'm a friend of your mother's. I'm a friend of Yolanda's.
You're a friend of my mother's?
Yeah, Mr. Reggie. She's never mentioned me before.
No, is she okay? Everything cool?
Oh no. Your mom is good. Let me tell you what's happening. So you're getting ready to graduate. You're finna get your master's, right?
Yeah, I'm getting my MBA.
Okay, first of all, let me just say congratulations to you. I'm proud of you. Your Thanks, mom been brother. Telling me about the whole journey, you know, from undergrad to getting your you're getting your master's in business. So I just want to commend you and say congratulations.
All right, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
But your mom ain't never mentioned Mr. Reggie to you, huh?
No, sorry, bro.
Okay. I got a little of a situation that we got here, man. I've been seeing your mom for probably, 5-6 years now. And
really?
So it kind of puzzles me that she never brought up Mr. Reggie to you.
No, she never brought up the name Mr. Reggie, I didn't even know she was dating, to be honest with you.
Okay, so when you started undergrad, I'm the person that, stepped up and gave your mom some money so she could put you through school. I knew she needed some money to get you through school. It started out, I guess around your freshman year. So I stepped up and, helped your mom out.
Man, this is bugged out, bro, because hold on. You telling me you gave my mother the money because she told me she got a couple extra jobs on the side to get the money to pay for school.
I'm the person that stepped up and through your undergrad, I'm the one gave your mom the money's for you can go to school. And I knew when you graduated from undergrad, and then she came back, told me you getting ready to do grad school, and I stepped up some more. Here's what I'm getting at, man. I'm not even calling you. Mr. Reggie ain't calling you.
Like, you want me to give you some money when I get a job?
No, young brother.
What are you calling me about?
Okay. Nothing like that. So here's the deal, man. I done gave your mom all this money for 6 years now. Here it is. Now you finna graduate. And now that you finna graduate, she called herself wanting to break up with me.
So, well, bro, I mean, I don't know nothing about that. That's between y'all, bro. I mean, what do you want me to do?
What I want
you
to do.
I never even heard your name before, so I mean.
And I understand that. But what I'm saying, what I'm getting at is this right here. I would like for you to at least call your mama and say something to her on my behalf. Because, you know, come on, man, I didn't put 6 years in, put you all the way through school. And now,
hey, what you
now
want me to say
walk
on your behalf? I really don't. I mean, I don't know you. I mean, what do you want me to say on your behalf?
But you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you, Davion. Mr. Reggie done stuck his neck out for you for the last 6 years. You see what I'm saying?
Listen, man, I don't even know you. You calling me out the blue talking about you gave my mama some money and been with her for 5 years. I don't know you. I never heard your name. Never heard of Mr. Reggie. You just called me out the blue. This is some trippy shit right now, man.
Okay, okay. Like, and I understand
stalker shit. You call your ex-girl's son? Like, come on, man. This is some stalker.
Hold on. This ain't no ex-girl. We've been cool.
You just
up
said
to
y'all
last
broke up. Up to last week,
I didn't pay for you to go to school 6 years. Now here it is. She want to break up with me.
I don't know nothing about that, man. Like, I don't know why y'all broke up. I don't know nothing about that. Maybe, and then you called me out the blue, and I don't even know you. She never mentioned you.
Well, at least you can do is call on my behalf and say, hey, what's going on with you?
On nobody's behalf. I don't know who you are.
I'm the person that put your little ass through school.
Hey, the checks that went to the school had my mama's name on them, not no damn Mr. Reggie. So, hey, bro, I'm sorry. It is what it is.
I done put your little ass through school. Now your mama want to run out on me. Now, don't want to date me no more. That's some bullshit right there, man. And you need to have a little respect for somebody that done took care of your little
ass. Respect? I don't even know you. What are you talking about? Took care of me? I don't even know your guy. Who are you, Mr. Reggie? What kind of name is that? You usually go by your last name, Reggie? People go by
My first name is Reginald. People call me Mr. Reggie, and you gonna do the same.
Nah, I just call you Reg, man. Come on, Reg. I'm good. Like, I don't know what's
okay,
going
let me,
on.
Okay, let me say this here. All I'm
thing,
asking for
you, is, but you need to call her and take care of this yourself. Leave me out this. Sorry, brother.
Nah, look here. You owe me a little respect, and you owe me at least, you know, whatever I'm asking you to do. I ain't asking you for no money.
I don't know who the f*** you are. You calling me, talking about call my mama, you used to date. I don't know who the f*** you are. You talking about I owe you some respect. Are you crazy?
Okay.
How the f*** you get my number anyway? You going to my mama's phone?
I've been had your number.
And it's the first
hell, I didn't spend thousands and thousands of dollars on your little ass. I've been had your money.
Well, how come you ain't come to the undergrad graduation?
What I need to come to that for? I did my job. I took care of your little ass.
Man, you ain't take care of shit, man. You need to get the phone off my phone, bro.
Okay, you know what? I'm finna go by your mama's house. I'm finna go by there, and you know what? I'm finna deal with her ass today, my damn self.
Look, I'm trying to be as respectful as I can, but if I hear about you going by my mother's house, I'm gonna whoop your ass. I'm gonna whoop your motherfucking ass. You're going to get your ass whooped by somebody with an MBA. Must be ass. I'm going to f*** you up if I hear you went by my mother's house. I don't
is you
know
listening to me?
Mr. Red. No, I ain't listening to you. I don't know nothing about you. Once I get off this phone, I'm going to call and ask about some Mr. Reggie. But if I hear you went by there, I'm going to f*** you up.
I'm going by your mama's house because you ain't going to just break up with me after 6 years. I done put the little boy through school.
Well, that's what the f*** you get for being a sucker. It sounds like you're a victim or a
I know the you ain't sitting here calling me no sucker.
You sound like a sucker. God, let me hear you went by there. It's going to be a problem. There's going to be some smoke in the city.
What about Jarvis?
Jarvis? What the Jarvis got to do with this? Jarvis will you up too, you go by there. He grew up with my mother. How you know Jarvis anyway?
Because Jarvis called me. He told me to call you. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your boy Jarvis.
What? Wait, hold on. Hold the present. Wait, hold on. Jarvis told you to call and say you some dude my mother and pay my way through college.
Hey,
I'm about to Jarvis up for this one. Man,
you got
man,
baby.
You know.
Hey, man, you got to give it to me, baby. Give it to me right. Mr. MBA, you finna get your paper in the next week or so. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey in the Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
This is our time for something funny. Steve has a mice story, a story about mice out of Memphis, but some names have been changed to protect the innocent, as we understand.
This is first 48.
Yeah, girl, yeah.
I was a young act, uh-huh. wasn't in the business long. Had a friend of mine that lived in Memphis, this guy. Mm-hmm. And so I had checked into a hotel down there, but it was like really, really messed up. It was only like, you know, $14 a night. Ooh. So, you know.
Oh, that door was outside right there.
And so, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I could see the car.
Yeah. I could see the car.
Back, call up to the car.
So I called him on his house phone. I said, hey, man, I'm in a bad spot. He said, man, come on over to the house, man. My mom and them, they don't mind. You know they love you. Get yourself something to eat. So I got over there about 10:30. His mom and them in the bed. His brother on the couch sleep. I'm in the kitchen with him. We eating. Mm-hmm. So he said, hey, man, just enjoy yourself. I'm going out. I said, man, I got to get up early in the morning, like about 5 in the morning, get back out on this road. I got to drive somewhere. He said, no problem, man. You can stay in my sister's bed because she gone. So I'm in his sister's bed, uh-huh. little bitty twin bed. Uh-huh. And I hear these noises. Oh, and my suitcase is on the floor over there. And I look, and a mouse crawls out of my suitcase. Oh, my God. Now I got to get up and unpack. Uh-huh. It's about 1:30. I got to unpack.
Was your suitcase open?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't thinking nothing of it. How the hell I know?
Yeah.
So now I got to unpack, shake out everything, make sure I ain't got no mice in this luggage, because I can't put this in my car because I live in it. What you can't live in is a mice-infested car. That can hate
a mouse in the house.
Yeah, now I'm just driving the ass cross-country. I'm committing felonies. So I get up and I say, man, let me go in the living room, man. What the hell going on?
Oh,
so I go in the living room, uh-huh. and I'm in a chair, and I hear this scratching by my head, and I turn around, and it's a mouse on the top of the Lazy Boy chair by my head.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Now I done stood straight up. I done damn near touched the ceiling.
Yeah, I bet you did.
And I had nodded off. So that's about 1:30 in the morning now. Now, my boy, he gone out. So I sit up, and I noticed this mouse run across the floor from under the couch to this big round coffee table they had in the middle that was made out of fur, but you could go up under. So I saw this mouse run up under the table.
Yeah.
I said, man, there's one on the back of the chair, one on the table. I said, man, how many damn mice in here? So then a mouse just shot across the TV, just ran across the damn TV.
What?
It was a flow model. So I said, okay, man, hold up. So I got, he had a foldaway chair up against the wall. You know the metal foldaway chairs they have at church? So I got a metal foldaway chair and put it up. And I got another one for my feet to get up in. And I put my foot up in this chair. I swear to God, I'm not lying to you at all. Them damn mice was everywhere. They start running across the floor. I said, man, is it 1:30?
Yes.
Is this the prime time?
I was just going to ask you about that.
They was running across the floor, man. They was crawling all up on the backs of the chairs. And I look up on top of the curtain, and it's two mice on top of the curtain. So I look at the curtains, and the curtains is moving.
I'm out.
The mice is crawling up the back of the curtains, uh-huh. up on the top rod.
Right.
Now, his brother is on the couch.
How you know that's his brother?
That's how you know it's the mouse brother.
No.
It's a family.
No, yeah. Yeah, my boy's brother was on the couch sleep. His little brother. He's 16.
Oh, we thought you meant the mouse rat, brother.
The mice all over the couch. They on his shoulder.
He ain't woke up.
I'm looking at him. I'm so scared for this boy.
Oh, my God.
I said, man, there's actually enough of them over there. They could really start eating your ass. you'd be able to get them in time because they're just mice. But these mice was up, and I kid y'all not, I've never seen nothing like it in my life. And I had my feet up in this foldaway chair because I'm going, man, what the hell is going on? And my eyes is burning because I can't blink because I can't take my eyes off these damn mice. My eyes is burning. If I ever needed Visine, I needed it then. I was mortified.
Man, you
damn mice was running across that floor, climbing up on his couch over there on that boy's shoulder. Then every now and then I just see him brush something. Like, that ain't no fly.
Right.
She's brushing like them is mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Well, wake your ass up and help me through this.
Help you.
So I wanted to wake him up, man, because I needed some help to understand this. I'm telling you, man, I've never seen that many mice in my life.
In one location.
And I mean, they just running back and forth all on, over the furniture, across the TV.
Yeah, this day time.
So about 2:35 in the morning, about 3, I've been up the whole time. I ain't slept a wink. I'm scared to take my foot off the chair.
Yeah.
The key stick in the door. It's my boy. He coming back in. He put the key in the door and turned the lock. He opened the door. Hey, man, what's happening? Wasn't a mouse, no damn.
You're lying. You can't explain it. Don't even try, dog.
I'm looking at him, man. He said, love, what's happening, man? I said, man, you know what the hell happened.
You're mad
he
at
said,
him.
What's wrong? I said, man, you see. Ain't a mouse. No damn. I said, man, you looking over. Wasn't no mouse. I said, they all up on the curtain. Curtains ain't moving. I said, man, they been running up under. Ain't a mouse. No damn boy.
Like a dream.
His brother sleep like ain't nothing wrong. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. He came in. He said, yeah, bro, I'm hungry as hell. You want something to eat, boy? Hell no.
Not at this house.
I said, I tell you what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to go get in my car. I got to take off, man. I got to head to Nebraska. Oh, man, I thought you were going to leave a little bit late. Don't worry about that. I'm going to sleep in my damn car. And I need to get my car to the driveway because they're probably climbing up in there right now.
Wow, Steve.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
There's a concert coming to town that I just have to see. He's one of my favorite artists. I already have my tickets front row. I bought the tickets months in advance. I'm so excited. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What you got, Carla?
Okay, so listen to this, Steve. My friends, a lot of us are parents, you know, we hang out, we do things together with our children. So the latest discussion, you know, we have young kids. So the latest discussion is, you're an expert at this. At what age should you teach your child how to cuss, curse, or say bad words?
What?
Well, you shouldn't teach them
teach
how.
Them.
There's no age when you should teach them bad words.
Oh, okay.
Because bad words are not necessary. It all depends on circumstance and environment. Cussing is an environmental, circumstantial thing that you have to be able to participate in. And every circumstance and all environments do not require cussing. You need to be able, so it's not a good time for you. The situations will bring out the child when it's necessary.
Okay.
It's not for you to decide, I'm going to teach my child cuss. I never taught any of my kids to cuss. My father never taught me to cuss. I just picked it up.
Okay. So you overheard it and you just...
And kept it.
Now, for me personally, the decision to use cussing a little bit more regularly was somewhere around 9.
Yeah, see? Well, Shirley.
Nine is when I started implementing it.
Yeah.
That's pretty young.
By 12, yeah. I was, you know, I wasn't, it wasn't really formed good. It wasn't, I was just throwing it out there. But I had a lot more situations. And the older I got, the more useful and more timely and more situations presented themselves. So okay. That's how I did it. So I don't say that there's an age that you give a child.
Okay. And here's why I'm asking this, because I know a lot of people look uncomfortable with this question. Mm-hmm. But it's a different time for these kids. And going into middle school, it's just been tough with the group of people that we hang with their kids. So they were saying they want to teach their children how to say, blank you, B, get out my face, in a situation of bullying.
Oh, bullying.
And things like that. So, yeah, they're saying, see, well, we got to teach start teaching our children.
I don't think it's necessary.
No.
See, you are. That. Here's the problem, Carla. Your little crew that y'all go to school with, y'all suburban parents. Y'all not hood parents.
Right.
Y'all from the hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But y'all have become suburbanized. Mm-hmm. And you all are suburban parents. So now you've tried to remain bougie.
and you're
trying to live up to your
status.
To your status in life now. Yeah. But your calling is hood.
I like the calling.
Yeah. And you're trying to know when to implement hoodism into your kids. And your kids don't really need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to teach them other ways. I don't recommend recommend teaching cussing to kids.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's going to backfire on them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't teach them negative behavior. Now, did I teach my children to take care of themselves? Yeah, but I found out I was doing it for no reason. Mm. Somebody hit you, everybody go down there. My kids ain't down the street fighting. Right. And then come home and you go get all your brothers and go back down there. My kids don't look. Matter of fact, the house too damn far away.
They're not at Six Flags like Black China.
Right. See, I wanted to tell my sons that. But they went to school where they ain't fight. Mm-hmm. They cyberbullying. Yeah. If they ain't fighting you, they talk about you on Instagram.
Social that hurts
your
feelings.
Nah, my daddy took me to get my ass whooped.
That was nothing.
What'd you say, Tommy?
My daddy took me to get my ass whooped. I couldn't whoop my ass every Saturday.
That was your training?
That was it. My daddy took me over there. Because they wasn't fighting in my neighborhood. But over there, my cousin, every day, every Saturday by 12:30.
Yeah.
Get my butt tore up. Mm.
So that's how you grew up. It's like you said, how we grew up. And how we're parenting and how our children are growing up, it's just it's two different worlds.
And it's some parenting that just doesn't apply today. And then a lot of it does, but you all have removed it because of your new way.
Mm-hmm.
But your kids are suburban kids. So when the bullying goes down at school, how do you teach them how to cuss? You ain't got to teach them how to cuss. You got to get the bully out your face.
Yeah.
You don't get the bully out your face by cussing. No. There's a physical activity that can get the bully out of your face. Now, if you don't want to teach the physical activity, then you got to go with something else. But bullies don't respond to get your blankety blank out my blankety blank. They don't, because they bullies. Hell, they the one told you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finna put my blankety blank in your blankety blank. Now, you sitting there with your little punk ass. What's your comeback?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's hard to outcuss a bully.
Mm.
So you got to teach your children the other things. But I don't recommend teaching your children how to talk bad to people, because that doesn't work, because it's just talk.
Just
and
talk.
Eventually, once you talk bad, you got to bag some of it up.
Oh, okay.
You know, did your parents have put motivation behind the bully? Like, if you don't whoop his, I'm going to whoop yours. Yes. That was the motivation I had.
Let me catch you running again. Let me catch you
running again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you crying for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come home crying one more damn time. Ooh, I'm going to give you something to cry about. Then I'm going to take you down there. My brothers then took me back down the street to fight Manny. Me and Manny got in 4 fights in one day. Me and Manny was through with it. Manny, my boy Manny.
Yeah.
He in the picture right up there, the dude with the hat on with the gold jacket.
Oh.
Standing there where they name in my street. My boy Manny. Yeah. We fought 4 times. Me and Manny was through after the first fight. Our brothers and sisters got involved.
Then they were beefing. Is that what it was?
Rose Calhoun brought Manny back up to my house to beat me up.
Wow.
big ass rose. Bought Manny up there to be my, I whooped Manny out. Now Manny whooped me the first time. I'm through. You win, Manny, we friends. But since she brought him up to my house and my daddy was on the porch watching, I got to tear Manny ass.
All right, listen. Coming up, more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, happy Juneteenth and happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there, to the ones we work with right here in the studio. That's Steve, Jay, and Tommy. Well, our resident poet is here with a gift for you guys and for us all, for the world, Junior.
Yes, it is.
Here are two poems.
Yes, this is rare day, two poems
for each holiday.
Spit some knowledge, man.
So let me go ahead and get this. This is what I think that when Juneteenth happened, this is what I think they were thinking. And I had to get in that mindset, so here we go. This one's called Juneteenth. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. The secret was never told that slavery had ended 2 years before. Now, to me, that's kind of bold. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. We still in the field picking cotton when they knew damn well we was free. If you think that's kind of rotten. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. How the hell you keep a secret like that? The only reason you could hold us down, cause you were standing on our backs. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. It's the day we celebrate. But it's one thing I know for sure. You can never get good news too late. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. The end.
That's my favorite part. The end.
I had to pop up for this. I'm clutching my pearls right now. And I don't even wear
that
pearls.
That was great.
I'm clutching
that
damn point.
Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. They was running through the city. They was running through the city. They was running through the city spreading the news.
Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth.
That's how I got that.
The worst damn point.
This was for you, Unc. This for Father's
Day. Mr. Negative.
No, no, no.
Mr. Negative. Don't listen to him.
Boo. Listen to that. Boo.
Because I don't even feel free right now.
Because you wasn't.
Juneteenth, Juneteenth.
Thank you, Jeff.
Shut your black ass up.
Daddy poem. This is what I call this. This is for all the fathers in the world.
Oh, you got another one?
I don't want this poem.
This is for you, Unc.
He's got two.
This is for you, Tommy.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm over.
You don't want to hear. Listen.
I don't want the poem, Junior.
Father's Day, Father's Day, Father's Day.
Boo, boo, boo. I know, I did it. I got it, Shirley. Watch this.
Daddy, daddy, daddy.
That's exactly how it starts, Tommy. Daddy, daddy, daddy. I honor you this way. Oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. I just like to say, daddy, daddy, daddy. I like to take this time to send you some heartfelt words, and some of them may rhyme. Oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. You don't sound much for me. I like how you stand up to be a man, and you taught me the correct way to pee. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Oh, father pops of mine. I forgive you for saying you were coming to see me. I knew damn well you was lying. Oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. Happy Father's Day. I'd like to send you a card. Only problem is, I don't know where you live. The end.
The end, yes, the end.
He's going to lean back
with
the chair.
I'm with daddy, daddy, daddy.
Yeah. Come on, one more time, Junior, with the daddy.
Daddy, daddy, daddy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, time now for Comedy Roulette. Come on, Jay, set it up, please.
Let me break it down for you. We take three subjects, put those three subjects on a wheel, spun the wheel. Where the wheel stops, because we are comedians, we can make the damn thing funny. Watch us. Watch us. Go ahead, Shirley.
All right, here are today's categories. Number one, things people say when they don't know they are on speakerphone. Oops. things your mate has that you wish they would throw away.
Ooh, yeah.
And then how about this one? Things that a friend says to embarrass you. Oh, wow. Whoa. Those are three good ones. Ready?
They are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, throw away.
Throw away. Yes. That's the one I want.
Throw away? It stopped on. We've all been here. Things people say when they don't know they are on speakerphone. Let's go.
Here we go. Things people say when they don't know they're on speakerphone. I ain't going over there. That whole house stank. I ain't going over there.
Not the whole house.
The whole house.
Oh, my goodness.
Look here. I'm going to say this here. If Larry and them over there, uh-huh. I ain't coming because you know I don't blankety blank with Larry. You already know that. You know damn well I don't. You know I don't.
Thanks.
This is things people say when they don't know they on speakerphone.
Uh-huh.
His ass on the phone.
His ass is on the phone. Things people say when they don't know they on speakerphone. Yeah, I got $5, but I ain't gonna lend it to her ass. Uh-uh. I wish the hell I would.
Hey, listen, is Rhonda got her big ass over there?
Oh.
Keep her off my couch, because she the reason why the couch uneven now. She the main reason why it's uneven.
Hey, you're on speakerphone. Speaker. They can hear you.
Things people say when they don't know they on speakerphone. Look at me.
Come on, Steve.
Man, I can't stand none of they ass.
You on speaker? Let me pick up. Yeah.
Things people say when they don't know they on speakerphone. Oh, I wish the hell I would go to a funeral. I didn't like him when he was alive. How the hell I'm a boy?
Hey, babe, look here.
We are so wrong.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, girl. I want you to do what you did with that jelly last night. That's what I want you to do. The same thing. That, what you did with that jelly last night, what you do that same thing tonight, girl. Oh, what?
Things people say when they don't know they on speakerphone.
Come on, Steve.
You know this is Taylor.
Things people say when they don't know they on speakerphone.
Yeah.
Is his ugly ass mama over there?
Whoa!
Not the mama, though.
Oh,
I love it. Things people say when they don't know they on speakerphone. He got a brand new car, but he missing 6 teeth. Now, that don't make no damn sense.
Uh-uh. You're right about that.
Hey, Wayne over there. Wayne, he don't even know I'm hitting his old lady. He don't even know that. he don't know, dog. He don't
know. Oh, my God. Close it out, Steve. Close it out, man.
Oh, gosh.
Things people say when they don't know they on speakerphone. Hey, you know you left your panties over here last
night. What? I'm at my mama's house.
Everybody looking at the phone.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hey, Miss Jenkins.
You're on speakerphone. All right. Thank you, guys. That's Comedy Roulette. Coming up next, Nephew in the building with today's prank phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after today's Strawberry Letter. But up next, right now, Tommy is here, the nephew, with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
You in my house. Now, my grandmom used to say, as far as you in my house, we will serve the Lord. That ain't got nothing to do with this here.
Mm-hmm.
The title of this here is You in My House. I'm going to let you have it. I am the prank phone call king, from what they say. You think that's stupid? Wait till February 7th. February. Say it with me, Carl.
February.
If you, my grandmama said, if you make it through January and February.
Let's go, Cat.
You can march on through to April and May. You're going to remember this. If you make it through January and February, you can march on through to April and May.
Good
God Almighty.
Hello. Hey, this is Preston. Where did y'all leave the key at? I'm about 2 hours out.
You got the wrong number, bro.
Call him back. Yeah. Is this Troy?
Yeah, it's Troy. Who this?
Hey, this is I'm Preston, man. Listen, I'm on my way to the house. I'm about 2 hours out. Where did y'all leave the key at, man?
Hold on, wait. Let me get up. You on your way to what house?
I'm on my way there. Are you at the house? I'm at my house. Yeah. What did you say your name was? This is Preston. Okay. Hold on, man. I don't understand. Okay, I'm on my way to the house.
House? That's my question. What house you talking about?
Okay, are you at 69 Woods Drive?
Yeah, that's my house.
Okay, I don't understand that. All right, so listen, I'm about 2 hours out, man. I got 2 U-Haul trucks. We en route there. We'll be there in about 2 hours. But I thought y'all was out the house by now. I'm kind of see where the key at.
Out the house? What? Hold on, hold on, man. Let me get up. What you say? You got 2 U-Haul trucks. What you got them for? What's that now?
I'm moving into the house. I bought the house.
You moving into what?
Okay, how you don't know I bought the house, man?
What house you talking about?
Oh, you on Woods Drive. I bought this house from Tisdale.
Tisdale. That's who we got the house from. Wait, you say you bought the house?
Okay, wait a minute. You leased the house from Tisdale, right?
Yeah, right. We still got about another year left in my lease. We ain't out this house for another year. I mean, and we supposed to renew that.
Okay, we got a problem. Let me try to. Okay, oh.
Yeah,
we bought.
Now, hold on. Let me get my wife on. I need to get my wife on the phone.
Hold on a minute. Uh-huh. Okay. So now Tisdale tell me that y'all supposed to be at the house, and I'm calling because he said y'all gonna leave the key in a certain place.
Tisdale ain't told you no like. Man, let me get Tisdale on the phone, we ain't hearing nothing about no selling or no house or no nothing like that.
Okay, well I didn't bought the house from Tisdale, and I'm 2 hours out. I might get there a little quicker. How soon do you think y'all gonna get y'all stuff out the house?
Get what stuff out what house?
Y'all gonna have to get y'all stuff out the house.
Get what stuff? You a guy lot of day. You think we're gonna get we look, like I said, man, we need to get Tisdale on the phone and get this cleared up. You a mother, I tell you what, you bring the U-Haul trucks if you want to, y'all better take that back where you come from. I tell you that.
Listen, the mistake, first of all, okay, you arguing with me about my house. That's my house.
Now you pissing me off. I'm gonna tell you like I'm gonna tell Tisdale. Ain't none of this ain't going down the way you think it's gonna go down. You understand? We signed a lease to be in this house for a year. That's what we gonna do. We gonna be in this house for a whole year. You ain't gonna be in here for another year. So you might as well go get yourself.
We don't own the house no more. I own the house. You got to get your out, man. I'm 2 hours out.
Yeah, man. Listen to me now. Listen, we done been in this house 5 years. Okay, we got 1 year left in this house. Okay, look, ain't gonna be no moving in today. I can't move my man. I got wife, I got kids, and man. We gotta talk Tisdale. But I'm telling you, man, you pull up today at U-Haul. I swear for Lord, I'm gonna whoop your. You done called me with all this. I ain't got no notice or nothing. You understand what I'm saying? We ain't talk to
that ain't got nothing
Tisdale agree with me. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, well, that's between you and Tisdale, but right now, I'm on my way to my house, and you got to get your out of my house.
No, you on your way to my house.
If you come to my house,
you gonna get your ass handed to you.
Let me say this. Wait, is your wife and kids there right now?
They at church where your need to be.
Okay. Is there any room in? What's in the garage? Any room in the garage? Can you move your stuff?
No, what's in my garage? You raggedy. Like I just told you, you pull up to my house, gonna get some furniture moving in this.
Hey man, let me tell you something. You getting your black.
Well, you come make me do it. Move out my house today. What's in my garage? Then what's in your garage? You tell me that. What's in your garage?
Look, I'm gonna allow you to do this. Move all your stuff into the garage.
I'm gonna allow you to get your whooped.
Okay.
Understand what I'm saying?
I see now. You want your whooped in front of your wife and kids.
So you gonna whoop my? Is that what you gonna do? I tell you what. You bring them U-Hauls. You bring your wife, your kids, your dog. You bring any about it. I whoop all your right here in front of my house.
It's not your house. It's mine. I bought the house from Tisdale.
I tell you what. You meet me right in front of the yard. I'm gonna be right out here standing in my. I'm gonna whoop your in my robe and my house shoes. How about that?
going to tell me to move out of my house. And you know what, you better call Tisdale to get in there so he can help you because you don't need to tell me.
What? You don't need what you say?
Do you know what else Tisdale told me to tell you?
I tell you one thing. You're going to tell me whatever Tisdale told you, but I tell you one thing. I ain't moving out of my house today. I'm telling you that right now. Ain't going to be no moving out here. You say whatever Tisdale told you to say.
I'm going
to
tell you this. Hear what Tisdale told me to tell you. Tisdale told me to tell you that this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Troy, your wife and Tisdale got me to prank phone call you.
This is some bull. I done put my pants on. I done put my boots on. I'm waiting. I'm sitting right here in my living room looking out the window, waiting for this you all to pull up. Because I sure gonna tear fire from your boy. I tell you, man, I can't even go back to sleep now. You done got me fired up.
Hey, Troy, I gotta ask you before I go, man, what is the baddest, and I'm talking about the baddest, radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Show. Ain't that bad?
Come on.
Okay.
You give
keep
it to me.
The ignorant going. You really does.
He really does.
Hi, boy. You ignorant. You ignorant for real. You stupid. My nephew, he is the king of prank.
You got to
be stupid. The ignorant can't go down. It's got to be up.
It's got to go
next
up.
Next level ignorance, baby.
And it stay there. And it stays there. The ignorant go up.
Coming up next, the strawberry letter right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, it is time for today's Strawberry Letter, and if you need advice on relationships, on sex, on dating, on work, on parenting, on more, submit your Strawberry Letter to SteveHarveyFM.com and click Strawberry Letter. Anything you want to add to that, Steve?
Yeah, you know, when you click, click hard. Just click it really hard.
And that's going to do...
You know, that's what? Hard clicking. That's what it is. Yeah, get yours in faster.
Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
All right, thank you, nephew. I'm going to try to get through this. All right, subject, am I trifling or ungrateful? Dear Stephen Shirley, I am a 42-year-old single mother and I have two teenage children that live with me. At my age, I wanted to become a homeowner and stop renting, so I started looking for an affordable place to buy. My mom recently received a financial blessing, so she offered me to buy me a house. Hesitantly, I agreed. I found a small, affordable home, and my mother bought it. I pay the mortgage, but the house is in my mom's name, which is why I was hesitant to go through with the deal. I should have followed my first mind, because since I have moved in, I have not had
any peace in my home. On several occasions, I came home to find that my mother had put pictures on the wall, put up curtains, and bought pieces of furniture for my house. She is a thrifty shopper, so I don't like any of the design choices she has made. One day, she dropped off 10 vases and told me she planned to keep fresh flowers in them and put them throughout my house to liven it up. She comes over every other day, and she stays overnight, too. This is unacceptable. So I had to tell her that enough is enough. I asked her to please text or call me before coming by. She made sure to remind me that it's her house. That it's her house. She called me an ungrateful heifer. Dang. And said I was trifling for not appreciating the way she's trying to help me to decorate the house. I haven't talked to her, nor have I seen her in a week. So I guess it worked. I don't want to be at odds with my mom. I'm very grateful for all she's done, but I need her to respect my space. Am I wrong? Please help. No, you're not wrong. You are absolutely not wrong. Especially, you know, as long as you spoke to your mom in a respectful way, and it sounds like you did. But boy, this is really a case for going with your first mind, for going with your gut here. This has got to be in the top five of that, you know? You knew it would be a problem, though, which is why you said you were hesitant in the first place. But that down payment, your mama's money, was dangling in your face, so you went for it. The lesson for you here is, you know, you should have got your name on the house as well. You know, yeah, your mom paid the down payment, but you could have put your name on the deed. Shortly after purchase, you could have done like a quick claim, you know, transaction, or just waited until you came up with the money for your own house. You could have done that because you've been looking for a while. You could have been a little more patient. I understand you wanted to get the house, though, and you found one and it was right there and your mom was there. But in the meantime, yes, your mom is out of order. When you give someone a gift, you don't hover it over them, you know, and invade their space like your mom's doing, constantly remind you that it's her house. That's not right. I mean, she's throwing it up in your face every chance she gets. Furthermore, you're paying the mortgage. You are, so it is your house. I'm glad she's decided to remove herself from the situation. And you could probably, you know, a little later on, give it some time, call her and, you know, make your apologies. You guys make up. She's your mom. She's not going anywhere. But yeah, she's wrong to do all of this. I mean, nice to help you, but wrong as far as this is concerned. Steve?
Well, anytime y'all ready for me to make the clarifying statement of this letter, please stop me in the middle of it and ask me at any time, Steve, do you have a clarifying statement?
Okay.
And I'm going to make it. Let's start with the letter. 42, single mama, 2 teenage children. You know, she always thought that by then she'd be a homeowner. Most people do. That's a great goal in life, you know, be a homeowner, stop renting. So you start looking for an affordable place. Your mom ran into a financial blessing. See, now, here we go. Let's start. This is a financial blessing.
Uh-huh. That's what she said.
All your problems started with what you considered a blessing. See, careful. Your mama came up with a financial blessing. This wasn't yours. This wasn't them kids. This wasn't your daddy's. This wasn't none of your siblings. Your mama had a financial blessing. So she offered to buy me a house. Hesitantly, I agreed. Why? Why would you hesitantly agree? But you found a small, affordable home, and my mother bought it. Your mama bought it. Mm. I paid a mortgage, but the house is in my mama name.
Ooh.
Now, if your mother was truly buying you the house, why wouldn't she just give you the down payment and let you own the house? That is because this was never the intention. She's just gonna let you stay there.
Right.
Which is why I was hesitant to go through the deal. I should have followed my first mind. I have not had any peace in my home. It's because it ain't yours. See, let's just go and get to this one. On several occasions, I came home and found my mother had put pictures on the walls and curtains and bought the place furniture in her house.
Oh, my God.
For my house. That's because it's her house.
Hang on, Steve. We'll have part two of your response coming
anytime up. Y'all want to clarify a statement when we come back, just ask.
I'm going to ask you. Okay. We'll be back at 23 after the hour with today's Strawberry Letters subject. Am I trifling or ungrateful? Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, let's recap today's Strawberry Letter.
Well, the recap is simple. It's a woman over here, 42, got these kids, always wanted to own a house. Her mama ran into a financial blessing, mm-hmm. a gift from God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Then her mama decided she'd help her daughter out by buying her a house. So she bought the house. She paid a mortgage, but it's in her mama's name, which is why she was hesitant in the first place. Let's go over what I said. I have not had any peace in my home. Well, that cause it ain't yours. On several occasions, I came home and find my mother put pictures on the wall, put up curtains, and bought pieces of furniture for my house. Excuse me, her house. She's a thrifty shopper, so I don't like any design choices she made. One day, she dropped off 10 vases, told me she planned to keep fresh flowers in them and put them throughout my house to liven it up. Yeah. She won't put it in her house. And they ain't going to stay live. You're going to have a bunch of dead-ass flowers in the house.
Is now a good time?
She comes over. You want it? Anytime you want it.
Can you? What's the clarifying statement?
Can't let black people put their name on nothing. This is what this is all about. You can't let black people put their name on nothing and then try to act like they ain't got no say-so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's the clarifying statement. Okay. I'll give it to you anytime you want it. Okay. Here's another one. She come over every day. She stays overnight, too, because she at her house. This is unacceptable. Yeah. And unacceptable to who? My name on the... What? You don't like it?
Uh-oh.
So I had to tell her that enough is enough. I asked her to please text or call me before coming by. Why I got to call you to come by my house? She made sure to remind me that it's her house. She had a deed with her.
Hey, Steve.
Huh?
Can you make a clarifying statement?
You can't let black people put their name on nothing.
Please.
Nothing. Not the lease, the mortgage. They can't co-sign no damn loan. They can't rent you no damn car. You can't let their ass buy you a car. They can't rent a car. They can't get you a truck to move in.
Oh, man.
You ain't packing all that stuff in that truck. I got the cab back.
Yeah. Your prescription up?
You can't get a prescription. I need two of them pills. You can't do nothing. So you can't let black people put their name on nothing. I've been around black people my whole life. I'll be 62 years old in a minute. I've been black the whole time. All my relatives is black. Every last one of them.
Black the whole I know.
You can't let them put their damn name on nothing. She called me ungrateful heifer. That's the beginning. That's her opening statement. Is you ungrateful heifer? You ought to hear. You wait till you get to the reunion,
man,
and find out what your ass really is.
Clarify a statement.
You can't let black people put their name on nothing. And you're not fitting to hear about it. You can best to believe this here. And said I was trifling for not appreciating the way she was trying to help me decorate the house. Don't nobody want all these old-ass decorations in here. Because, mama, you old. Got
basis.
All these blue farm plates sitting up on top of the mantelpiece. Got that big, giant wooden spoon and fork on the wall.
Yes, yes.
Coming in here, I'm her and my daddy in here hammering walnut paneling up on the wall.
Not wood paneling.
Walnut.
Mama, who ordered this shag carpet? Why is it a rake in the corner?
Raking it? Oh, my God.
Mama, where you get that from? That's a TV stand, baby. A TV stand.
They don't do those anymore.
For the color TV to sit on. Mama, I want a flat screen.
Yeah.
Flat screens is the devil. How's all that little stuff coming out of that flat screen? That ain't nothing but that's Satan.
So
you gonna
crazy.
Get a picture tube is what you need. Christians have picture tubes. I haven't talked to her, nor have I seen her in a week. Well, hell, that's lucky. She coming back, though. Mm-hmm. You can believe, I haven't talked to her, nor seen her in a week. Oh, she getting a lawyer.
Wait, what?
She getting a lawyer. When you come over there, you're going to have eviction notices. People going to be saying goodbye to your ass. So I guess it worked. There ain't nothing worked. Her name's still on the damn deed. I don't want to be at odds with my mama. I am very grateful for all she's done, but I need her to respect my space. Am I wrong? You ain't got no space.
Clarifying
I just
statement.
Told you, you can't put black people name on nothing.
Stupid.
That's her house. That's her house. That's her TV. That's her room. That's her car. That's her porch. That's her tree lawn.
Hey, can black people rent you a room?
If they rent you a room, you might come home and don't be no dough on it.
Wow.
Jeez. And I'm going to tell you another statement, too.
What?
Poor people don't share good. Just want to let you know that. Because somebody have to be in charge of the other poor person. Poor people don't share good. I'm just trying to teach y'all something now.
Stop.
All right, we got to get out of here.
And
email
expect
us.
Your ass ain't finna hear from me.
Cable
no more.
Too, dog.
Cable.
Email us, Instagram us.
I don't even like Sports Center. I just want a regular package.
Go to Steve Harvey. Man.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, come on, Steve. Introduce Jay as he murders another
Ladies
hit.
Ladies and gentlemen, a man who has caused me to lose most celebrity friends. In the short time he's been here, murdering the hits, J. Anthony Brown.
First of all, you're not going to lose any friends today. You're not. This is a great one. All right, today's hit. This is very dear to me. Check it out. A summer school, and this time it ain't easy. Ain't it something? What you can do when you try, your only wish, your only wish.
Jay, my only wish is you not sing that song. Come on,
I mean,
man.
It's about people going to summer school.
I don't give a hell who it's about, okay, man? That's not how we murder hits, baby. You know we do it. You know how we do it.
What you got? What you got?
Check this out.
Oh, okay. I can get with that. Let me think of something. Let me see what I can come up with. Let me see. Summer school. Let me see what I can come up with. I done something real quick. Here. Check this out.
Summer school in summertime. Yeah. You messed up. No sense of crying.
Are you in school, dumbass, getting your learn on? While other kids are out having some fun. You failed at every class, including geometry. You was that class clown, now taking history. A little bit out of control, you had your chance. And what about the rules you broke? Oh, come on, man. And no more hitting on chicks. And no more hanging with friends who say, hit this.
Your focus and heart need to pass. A mom and dad gon' get in that ass. No more watching TV, wasting time. Summer school ain't cool, cause it's whack to waste your summertime.
Summer school in summertime.
Cause it's whack to waste your summertime.
You messed up, no sense in crying. Summer school in summertime.
Cause it's whack to waste your summertime.
You messed up, no sense in crying.
Cause it's whack to waste your summertime.
Summer school in summertime.
You didn't lose any friends on that
Junior.
You didn't lose any friends on that one,
No, I didn't lose no friends on that. But next week.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, here's a question for you. Is it possible to be too tired to go to sleep? It's perfectly possible to feel tired and at the same time have trouble dozing off. Certain life stresses and health problems can leave us feeling exhausted, but at the same time make it difficult to relax and go to sleep. Also, missing out on sleep can disrupt our natural rhythms, which can make us feel wide awake when we usually be sleeping. Here's the question. Have you ever been too tired to sleep? I've heard people say that before. I was so tired I couldn't even sleep. What do you think caused that?
Well, I know for a fact you can be tired and not be sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, man, I've done myself like that many times. I just push myself to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's so much adrenaline that it takes a while for the adrenaline to go because you've just been exerting yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, adrenaline is flowing and you're up and you're hyped. Because, man, it's sometimes like Tommy Jr. tell you after the show is kind of hard.
It's kind of hard to go to sleep because you're still excited.
Yeah, you're tired.
Yeah.
Take a minute. Because
you've done a show. But
that adrenaline is running. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you just be sitting in your room at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Looking crazy. Three.
Just looking around, huh?
So what do you do in that case when you know you have to get some rest?
I pack this bag so I don't miss this flight is what I do.
And you sleep on the plane?
Yeah, I try to get sleep on the plane.
I love sleeping on a plane.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But what about, Steve, when you're not too tired and you look forward to that sleep? And how do you, boy, that good sleep you know you're about to get?
I'm talking about when I know I'm sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, like I'll be talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. And be looking dead at their ass, but don't be listening,
right?
But be rocking back and forth just a little bit, you know, but not side to side, back and forth, like closer to them, far away, close to them, far away, close. And just be rocking like that, so it don't look, because you don't want to rock side to side, because that throw people off. But when you rock towards them, that just lures them in, and they be just talking. And I don't be hearing nothing they say. I've shut my eyes completely while somebody was talking. That lady one time at this meeting, she was talking, and I was just looking at her rocking. And I fell asleep. She said, "Are you okay?" Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. You all right? What's wrong with you?
Steve, I really think you hold the record of getting on the plane and falling asleep the fastest.
And, I ain't no problem.
Will not have a seatbelt on.
No, I don't give a damn.
But not put that belt on.
Yeah, but I go to sleep on the plane in a heartbeat. I don't
care. Yes, you will.
Yeah. Well, have you ever snowed out on the plane?
Oh,
has he snowed on the plane?
No. Said the entertainer's boy, KB. KB snores. We was on plane one time, King Tour. Uh-huh. KB was snoring so loud. The white dude next to him said, "Hey, are you serious? Are you really serious?" So KB said, "Hey, man, my bad, but I do snore." So KB went back in again. Now, we crossed the aisle. KB snoring so loud. We on the other side of the aisle. Me and Sayed just hollering. The white dude said, "Oh, my God. For crying out loud, mister, can you please sit up?" KB told me, KB said, "Hey, man, I just told you I snore, so listen to this right here. If you wake me up one more time. You ain't gonna believe what else I do real loud too. Cause my ass whooping skills is just as loud as my soul snores.
Wow.
So KB went back over there. And 10 minutes later, KB was ripping him again.
He went in again.
That dude got up out of first class and went back in coaching sit down.
Wow.
Dang.
All right. Coming up, more of today's trending stories on the Steve Harvey Morning Show at 20 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Candles, candles, candles. Let's get lit with my brand new candle collection called the Love Collection. This is Shirley Strawberry. Thank you to everyone who's purchased my candle by going to loveshirleystrawberry.com. And guess what? You can too. Go to loveshirleystrawberry.com and get your Love Collection candle today.
All right, guys, it's time for a round of Would You Rather. Would you rather make love on the beach or would you rather make love in a hot tub? What's your preference? What's your water preference?
Hot tub.
Hot tub?
Yeah.
Junior?
Hot tub. That hot tub gets too hot.
Now you can't enjoy it.
It gets too hot.
I can't
hot.
Call
it bubbling.
Well, wait till you get that sand.
Hot all this damn noise. What's wrong in here? Am I doing something? Is it just this tub that's noisy? It's hot in here. I'm already hot. Here, let me hurry up.
That's a rush.
You're complaining about the cold.
With that beach.
Well, you know,
sand.
You need a big ass, blanket though.
Okay.
You can't just be on that sand. That ain't gonna
that's
work
sand.
Out. You're not gonna
ooh.
Believe that.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, happy Juneteenth and happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there, to the ones we work with right here in the studio. That's Steve, Jay, and Tommy. Well, our resident poet is here with a gift for you guys and for us all, for the world, Junior.
Yes, it is.
Here are two poems.
Yes, this is rare day, two poems
for each holiday.
Spit some knowledge, man.
So let me go ahead and get this. This is what I think that when Juneteenth happened, this is what I think they were thinking. And I had to get in that mindset, so here we go. This one's called Juneteenth. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. The secret was never told that slavery had ended 2 years before. Now, to me, that's kind of bold. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. We still in the field picking cotton when they knew damn well we was free. If you think that's kind of rotten. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. How the hell you keep a secret like that? The only reason you could hold us down, cause you were standing on our backs. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. It's the day we celebrate. But it's one thing I know for sure. You can never get good news too late. Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. The end.
That's my favorite part. The end.
I had to pop up for this. I'm clutching my pearls right now. And I don't even wear
that
pearls.
That was great.
I'm clutching
that
my pearls.
Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth. They
was
running through the city. They was running through the city. They was running through the city spreading the news.
Juneteenth, Juneteenth, Juneteenth.
That's how I got that.
Worst damn point.
This was for you, Unc. This for Father's Day.
Mr. Negative. No, no, no. Mr. Negative. Don't listen to him.
Boo. Listen to that. Boo.
Because I don't even feel free right now.
Because you wasn't.
Juneteenth, Juneteenth.
Thank you, Jeff.
Shut your black ass up.
Daddy poem. This is what I call this. This is for all the fathers in the room.
Oh, you got another one? Oh, okay.
I don't want this poem.
This is for you, Unc.
He's got
this is for you, Tommy.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm
on. You don't want to hear it. Listen.
I don't want the poem, Junior.
Father's Day, Father's Day, Father's Day.
Boo, boo, boo. I know, I did it. I got it, Shirley. Watch this.
Daddy, daddy, daddy.
That's exactly how it starts, Tommy. Daddy, daddy, daddy. I honor you this way. Oh, daddy, 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 I just like to say, daddy, 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 I'd like to take this time to send you some heartfelt words, and some of them may rhyme. Oh, daddy, 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 you don't sound much for me. I like how you stand up to be a man, and you taught me the correct way to pee. Daddy, 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 oh, father pops of mine, I forgive you for saying you were coming to see me. Uh-huh. I knew damn well you was lying. Oh, daddy, 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 happy Father's Day. I give. I'd like to send you a card
Uh-huh. Only problem is, I don't know where you live. The end.
The end, yes, the end.
He's going to lean back in the chair.
I'm with daddy, daddy, daddy.
Yeah. Come on, one more time, Junior, with the daddy.
Daddy, daddy, daddy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Steve, here we are, guys, with the last break of the day on this Monday.
It is the last break of the day. Yes, it is. There's no more breaks.
Say it right, Jay.
No, no. I mean, you know, I said it like once, but I knew people away. Wait, is it going to be another break? No, there will be no more damn breaks, okay? This is the last damn one. Sure, there ain't going to be
it.
Another break? No,
it's
no.
The one.
That's it. That's it, man.
It's been a good Monday, though.
Yes, it is.
It really has. Yeah.
Wow, it's great Monday.
Mm-hmm. It has.
It's great to be back.
Congratulations,
great
to, big
yes.
dog.
Welcome back, Junior.
You know what, Shirley? You know what I thought about, though?
What?
I looked at the whole show. I missed you guys, but I thought about something.
What?
Do you know Uncle Steve is the Moses of sick people?
What do you mean?
He leading a bunch of sick people.
He leading y'all too.
Everybody
on this show got a problem. It ain't just me and Jay. Everybody got a problem.
Well, y'all,
Uncle Steve lead people with big eyes. He lead people with short. He lead bipolar people. Carla, Jay diabetic. I got sick. He lead a bunch of sick people. Is what he do?
Big eyes is not a
not
disease.
That's
sick, Shirley. No, it's not.
Big eyes is a disease, Shirley. I'm going
bug
to
go. No, it is not. Yeah. It's the beginning of something.
Yeah. I do not have
the
a
only reason your
problem.
Eyes is out that far is due to some type of pressure. Shirley, have you always had them open that wide?
My eyes have been big since I came from the womb, okay?
Am I right, Am I right?
Yeah.
Shut up, Junior.
All of us people on the show sick. You need everybody. Not. You're the only healthy person we got.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Surely, them eyes is the problem.
His mind is gone, Junior, so he can't
The better to see you, my dear.
All right, you know, the other day was talking about finding the motivation to never give up. Because it's such an important thing, man. Just the fact that you don't quit, that you don't give up on your visions, your dreams, your goals, your aspirations. And you have to find the motivation to do it. But you also have to remember that doing good is the right thing to do. And a lot of times, I know, man, you get tired of doing good because it seems like it's no payoff. There's a scripture I was reading the other day. Galatians 6:9, and it was saying for us to not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And that's such an important thing, man, because sometimes it's hard to keep doing the right thing, especially when you're being done wrong. It's hard to keep doing the right thing and you don't see the payoff right after you do the right thing. It's hard to do the right thing when everybody else seems to be getting away with something wrong. So it makes it hard to continue to do the right thing. But you have to have the faith that you're doing the right thing, and you can't become weary in doing good. Because like the Bible says, at the proper time, you're going to reap a harvest if you don't give up. Do you understand how true that statement is? That's a promise of God that if you don't get tired,
and stop doing what's good, that eventually you're going to reap a harvest by just not giving up. There is a benefit to doing what's good. There is a reward for doing things that's good. You don't know, you have no idea how many seeds you're planting when you do something good. You have to, you don't even know where they're going to crop up, pop up, where you're going to harvest them later. It may not be even in the same field you planted. I was somewhere one day, and I was going down the street, and a girl had a flat tire, a young girl. And I just thought of one of my daughters, man, so I stopped. I just happened to be driving that day. It was years ago in L.A., and I stopped. And I helped this little girl. And she was on the side of the road just crying. She had a flat tire. She didn't know what to do. And so I stood there, made a phone call, got a tow truck to come. She didn't have the money. I kind of somehow got it to the tire station. I bought the new tires for her. Boom. Fixed her up. She went home. She called her father. She said, "Steve Harvey bought me tires for my car." I ain't thinking of it. The brother thanked me. Years later, I was on a golf course. Years later. I'm talking about like 5-6 years ago. And this happened like early, like in 2000. So probably around 2015-16, something like that. I'm playing golf and this guy comes up to me and he tells me the story about this girl. And it was his daughter. And he just told me about it. And he hugged me. He said, "Man, I wanted to thank you. I talked to you on the phone, but man, we finally meet. Man, I was hoping I would see you at this tournament." And so he hugged me. And, you know, didn't think nothing of it. Next thing you know, come to find out, he worked for a high-level company. The company calls me, and the company wants me to do a deal with them. I signed and did the deal with the company. It was all because one day I stopped and I helped a girl that I just saw in distress. Because I just thought, man, this could be one of my daughters on the side of this road. And she told her father, and her father did a deal with me that turned out to be a very, very beneficial deal. You can't ever get tired of doing what's right, because in due time, you will reap a harvest if you never give up. That's a promise from God. Keep doing the right thing, y'all. You will benefit from it. Those are my closing remarks. That's it. That's a wrap.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, "Oh, what's your best way of making money?" I'm like, "Oh, we should start some sort of scheme."
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.